Chapter 24 Learning His Ways. The power of the church comes when we, out of our love for Him, choose to obey His word. It is His law and commandments that we must once again learn in order to be empowered to fulfill our calling. The instructions of Yahweh, especially those first five books written by the finger of Yahweh Elohim, are the power source for the body of Messiah. The law, as they're often described, does not mean what most Greco-Roman indoctrinated people today thinks it means. But in actuality, it translates to the loving instructions of the Father. His instructions and law is not a burden, but rather the source of blessings that come with clear and easy to understand instructions on how to receive and fulfill it. How could any pastor or professor say that Jesus came to do away with the loving instructions of the Father? He told us that if we have seen Him, Jesus, we have seen the Father. Their ways will never be in contradiction or at odds. And how could we fleshly people claim Paul advocated for disobedience to and dismissal of the doctrines of the Messiah who instructed him? Jesus walked with absolute authority on this earth because his identity was secured in his obedience to Yahweh's instructions found in his Torah, the prophets, and the writings. If Christians claim to be imitators of Jesus, then why don't they do as he did? Why don't they keep the biblical feasts and the Sabbaths, eat the way that he said to eat and live as he lived? We know throughout his life he perfectly kept the commandments of the Torah, which brought a blessing that Satan himself could not take from him. Why would we not want to be like him or his disciples who were like him when they obeyed him? The cure for the cancer infecting the church is being set apart and holy like he is holy. Our church should look like the Torah obeying Jesus, the perfect Israelite, and not like this tainted and corrupt world, like the gaudily dressed bishops or white-collared priests. We, all of us who follow his ways, are called to be a peculiar people, a royal priesthood that is dedicated wholly unto our King. We should be set apart and holy unto him, not holy of this world. And we will look like him when we follow his ways, when we learn his word and obey it. We, like the Israelites of Judges, must go through the pains of captivity and slavery under destructive judgments until we learn the same lesson as they did. They had to learn that Yahweh Elohim alone was their king. Obedience to his loving instructions brought them a blessings of living in peace, of healthy children, of material providence, of deliverance from persecution, and eternal springs of hope welling up within. The church must go through the book of Judges before we can ever hope to go through the book of Acts. Once we submit ourselves to the kingship of Jesus and obey him, then we will have the power to raise the dead and to walk in the prosperity of the blessings of Deuteronomy 28. And not its curses. In that day, we will have the power to tread down lions and scorpions and to walk in the valley of the shadow of death and not be afraid, because obedience to Yahweh builds an impenetrable shield of protection around a person that no technological, mechanical, or spiritual enemy can stand against. The reason the looked-over shepherd boy stood against the demonized Nephilim giant Goliath while all the rest of Israel's warriors hid in the rocks like the cowards they were, was because David knew who he was. David was a man after Yahweh's own heart, because written on the heart of David was the Torah. The instructions of Yahweh had circumcised the foreskin of David's heart, and his first love for the instructions of Yahweh was there. I beg you to read Psalms 1 and 119. Read it and be an imitator of the scripture, not a hearer only. David's freedom, his courage, and his boldness came from his identity as a child of Yahweh. Never before or since has Israel, the people, been so blessed as they were under the kingship of David. This perfect blessing will not return until the Torah, who became flesh, instruction-obeying Son of God, is forever enthroned on this earth and in the age to come. Even in the great and eternal reign of Jesus, we will keep the biblical feasts. No one will enter his new Jerusalem except through one of the gates of the 12 tribes. Which tribe we become will be his to decide, but all of us must become Israelites, by birth or by belief. Why not learn his way now, before we get to do it with him forever? What if we prepared ourselves for eternity with the perfect one, instead of waiting for it to be our great escape from misery and monotony? Yahweh told us where his blessings come from, and we need to read and obey the whole Bible, even the parts we've disobeyed and ignored throughout our lives. Blessings, safety, and peace come from obedience, not from your manipulated tithe, not from your name it and claim it, not from your seed faith, nor your anointing oils, holy water, or Babylonian ritual rosary beads, but they come from surrender. Our offerings to the holy God should be our holiness and our set-apartness, our willingness to look more like Yahweh and Jesus than like this world. Do you know why those who have persecuted the real followers of the way never had any trouble finding them to put them in the Colosseum or to light them as torches at night? Do you know why the real body of Messiah can be rounded up when obeying Messiah is outlawed, like the Roman Catholic Church made it an executable offense to observe the Sabbath or celebrate the biblical feasts? It is because the remnant looked like Daniel, who still bowed to Yahweh alone when the laws of the nation said it was forbidden. They did not hide from the light of examination as those who walk in darkness do. It is because they looked nothing like the pagans worshiping Saturnalia or Christmas, knowing it was not even Jesus' birthday. They did not eat pork in honor of Tammuz on Ishtar's or Easter Day, when we know Messiah was slain and resurrected during Passover and first fruits. They were not working on the Sabbath, but were gathering together, fellowshipping and studying his whole testament. They were keeping the feasts of Yahweh, not the pagan holy days of the world repackaged by the universal Catholic Church to help pagans feel more comfortable with their pantheistic Christianity. The true church is not a building, but a body of people who are lovers of the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus of Nazareth, and who are seeking to walk on his narrow Torah observant path. They have lost friends and family, farms and fortunes, because they forsook the broad way of the world, which includes religions too, and follow their teacher. Instead, they were hated by the world for his name's sake. We are not hated by this world because we do not love Jesus And I know many of you are screaming with internal conversations about what I just said, but please hear me. We who call ourselves Christians do not love Jesus, not the way he told us to. As he has commanded us, so we must obey, as it's been written, if you love me, keep my commandments. There was no New Testament when he said it, and he meant it then, and he still means it now. Obedience is how we show him we love him. We cannot have a love-filled faith without works. And our works of righteousness are outlined in his instructions, which start in Genesis. This is not about salvation, but keeping the commandments does not save you. But once you believe on his name by faith through grace and mercy, you can become saved from the day of your inevitable judgment. Now it's time you learn his commandments so you can be like him. Don't you want the power to walk on water and deliver a man possessed by thousands of demons? Don't you want to be able to stand before a hurricane and command it to be still? What would it feel like to walk into a children's hospital and heal every single patient in that place? Do you not want to bless the little food you have and see it multiplied and fed to tens of thousands? What would this world look like if we did not fear the convicts, parolees, felons, or the homeless and the prostitutes, but boldly stepped into their fringe worlds and shared Messiah's hope with them? What could this world look like if we repented for our failures to the freaks, the misfits, and the rebels who rage against God? What would this world look like if the poor, the fatherless, and the widows in our congregations never had to go on food stamps or government benefits, but instead we provided them all they needed? What if instead of debt-laden church buildings and pastors' student loans soaking up the tithe, we met in our houses, apartments, or parks? And each week our tithes went towards paying off one family's debts, medical bills, or high interest loans, and then to the next, and on to the next. What if we were not dependent on our jobs, but we were the innovators, the entrepreneurs, and the creators of income, instead of being dependent on our taskmasters' every paycheck? What if we cashed out our 401k accounts, stocks, retirement plans, and purchased human slaves and gave them freedom instead? Hear me, retirement from kingdom work on a padded golf course or elite country club is not biblical. It's a worldly promise and it's wicked. Forsake your flesh and get in the game of life. There is no retiring from working in the kingdom of heaven, because many are the needs and great is the harvest awaiting its workers. Men are dying today while you look at your investment portfolio and hope to be able to have enough someday to spend on yourself and your family until you die. Babies are screaming in the darkness, abandoned by mothers who have to work the truck stops of your town just to survive. You could be paying her rent and groceries instead of the greasy $10 bills earned in the shadows. Netflix binges will never satisfy you like buying a hungry man a meal or giving him the spare room in your basement. The way of Messiah is all about our little becoming much. Our faith and obedience becoming a brilliant beacon of hope. What if we walked into the pagan temples or those Gnostic realms of deceit and called out their devoted practitioners and challenged them to call upon their gods while we called upon Yahweh Elohim, and fire consumed our offering and drove the people to repentance, as in the days of Elijah in 1 Kings 18. What if we could finally be entrusted with the power of Yahweh and his prophets, who called the people back to obeying, fearing, and worshiping Yahweh the way he instructed us to? What if we raised the dead at funerals and walked into fiery furnaces of public mockings and familial hatred? We can, and we will. In that day, when the remnant leave the powerless church and become part of his faith-filled vine, I assure you of this, the world will know where the children of the Most High God are. They would not have to wonder if you are a believer in Messiah. They would not have to see your Facebook religion description to know. No, they would see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven. It would draw so many who have longed for salt and light, who have hungered for freedom and power and hope. The few who follow the way would shine brighter than 10,000 dead churches with their pews filled up tight. But those who would not praise our Father would hate us, as he promised they would. And then they would come for us and throw us in their pits and demand us to be silent as we convicted them of their sins, called them to turn to their former ways, and showed kindness to the wounded, gentleness to the weak and the weary. In that day we would be set apart. We would be holy unto Jesus, the Savior of the world. We would walk in authority. The kingdom of God would walk with us because it would be flourishing within our hearts and overflowing into the lives of this world. The world would know that we walked in abundance of salty truth with power-filled grace to obey and surrender to the ways we've learned. The Father never desired a temple built by pagans with its Masonic twin pillars, cornerstone, and fixed location mended. In the wilderness, he commanded his people to build for him a tabernacle of skin, a yurt-like tabernacle of animal skins that moved where he moved, which lived and moved and breathed. The true tabernacle of Yahweh will never be built by manipulated men in Jerusalem on a desecrated mount, because the new tabernacle for his spirit is in our hearts. We are to be the tabernacle of Yahweh, so the kingdom of God can have skin on and be the living, active body of Messiah on this earthly realm. Once we fully surrender to his explosive story of redemption, we would not look like the false religions of the world, even those that claim Christ as their cornerstone. We would be the living stones of Jesus, who do greater things than he did while on the earth. The Spirit of truth would abide in us, as the all-consuming fire used to abide with the Israelites in the wilderness. It would testify to all the nations, saying, "Here are the people of Yahweh." Then the families and chosen ones would see. Then they would know that the true bloodline of authority and kingship does not course through their veins. It is not found in their genealogies. Even you who think you carry the seed of Christ, you have been deceived. You kingfishers have been preserving not the blood of the Redeemer in your bloodlines, but that of a deceiver. You have been beguiled, played by the masquerading spirits that led our fathers astray before the rebel's tower fell. The real power to rule is in the mighty right hand of Messiah. He is the one who will rule the earth forever, not your chosen one. The rider on the white horse is coming with his armies, and the earth will rock and sway under his glory and fury. The crowned and conquering child king you hold so dear will be crushed beneath his once pierced feet.